Thank you, Anthony. Good morning, church. Good morning. Oh, we could do better than that. Good morning, church. Good morning. There we go. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Hey, it has been a wild week. It has been a wild week. Some of you may be wondering, what are these little pins that we are wearing on our shirts? And so, for those of you that are brand new, first of all, my name is Ray. I'm the pastor here at the church at Montclair. It is my greatest honor and privilege. And it's been a heavy week for us as a congregation. Last weekend, we had an unexpected passing of one of our members in the congregation. And so this, just a few days ago, we had his memorial right here in front of the sanctuary. And today, we want to continue to honor our brother, Wilbert Solis. And so we have these pins, and he was actually a Marine, and he's a very handsome young man. I could not get over that photo. And so I told Jason, I said, we need to put that photo up of him. And that's our brother. That's Wilbert, man. So we are going to celebrate him. These are what these pins are for, is to honor Wilbert, okay? So that is our way of doing that. If you are able, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet this morning for the reading of God's word. We are in Ecclesiastes. We have been in a series for about 6 weeks now, 7 weeks, titled, What's the Point? And if I'm honest with you, Ecclesiastes has probably been one of the most difficult books for me to preach out of. And here's the reason why, is because it forces the reader to be put in a position that talks about real life circumstances, right? Like you go through some stuff in life. And this is what the teacher is talking about. He's saying, I've seen some stuff in my life. And let me tell you what I've learned. And so here's where we pick up this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I am going to read from verse 1 to 12. This is the word of the Lord. This too I carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. The same destiny ultimately awaits everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad, ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious. Good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people who don't. It seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. There is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. The living at least know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, is all long gone. They no longer play a part in anything here on earth. So go ahead, eat your food with joy, and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothes with a splash of cologne. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. And the wife God gives you is your reward for your earthly toil. And whatever you do, do well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. Verse 11, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. And people can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. This is the word of the Lord. Before you're seated, give somebody a high five. Let them know, I see you. I see you. In 2008, there was a man named Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch. And he was a computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon. And during his time as being a professor, he was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer unexpectedly. And when he found out that he only had a few months to live, he didn't hide, he didn't complain. Instead, what he did is he gave what was known, famously known as the last lecture. And in this last lecture, some of you may be thinking, well, what would I say if I found out that I only had a day to live or a couple days to live? And probably all of us would maybe talk about like our regrets or whatever the case may be, right? And with this professor, what he did is he didn't necessarily talk about death. What he emphasized is what it meant to live. He didn't want to highlight death. He wanted to highlight, no, living life to its fullest. And he talked about chasing dreams and loving people and not wasting time, most importantly. He said, we can't change the cards we are dealt, just how we play the hand. Some of y'all just, I'm going to say that again. We can't change the cards we are dealt, but we can change how we play the hand. All of us are dealt a different hand. How are you strategizing that hand that God has given you? See, if you found out you only had 1 week to live, what would you do? How would you spend your time? What conversations would you have that you've been procrastinating? What decisions would you make that have been on the bucket list that you're just saying, oh, when times are right, I'll get to it? And may I charge you with this morning, family and friend, with every eye on me, hear me loud and clear. God is giving you permission to live life. He does not desire for you to stay stuck. If you get nothing out of this message today, please hear me. God does not desire for you to be stuck. He desires for you to live. In fact, he charges you to live. God has not given you this gift of the Holy Spirit to sit on it. That's a word for somebody. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit to live and to give life to others. Come on now. Man. Thank you, Gary. Brother had to open the door to say that one. Man. So here's the real question. If you'd live differently then what's stopping you now? What's stopping you? For some, if we're real about it, it's resources, right? Like, we come from different economic backgrounds, everybody, right? But at the end of the day, sometimes resources is what prevents us from doing the things that we want to do. For others, it's the speed of life. You blink and suddenly you got white hair. I got a couple white hair where I could still count them. It's not a lot of them, so... Billy Bob, Paul's shaking his head. He said, bad dad joke. And then for all of us, though, here's the truth. Life sometimes is just unfair. If I could say it this way, sometimes life just sucks. Is that okay? Can I say that? Well, I did it anyway, so. So this morning, we're brought at this crossroads, this tension, and this is where Solomon is picking up at. He's saying we're at this crossroads of God's goodness boulevard and life struggles. And when we hit this intersection, we're like, where do I go? You're telling me God is good, but life is telling me this sucks. So where do I go? Am I speaking to anybody this morning? See, Solomon, the teacher, he looks around and he concludes this, what we've been harping for the past 7 weeks, and I'm sure some of you guys are tired of hearing me say it, but Solomon keeps saying, life is meaningless. Life apart from God is meaningless. If you search and try to get as much money as you can in the best position in the biggest house, cool, but you can't take it with you, right? At the end of the day, you can't take it with you, but what lives on is your soul. What lives on goes on for eternity, that is your spirit, your soul that is in Christ. And what Solomon is showing us is that even though life is meaningless, that we always won't get the answers on this side of heaven. That good people are still going to suffer at the end of the day. That bad people will sometimes succeed. And everyone at the end of the day passes. They die. But listen, hear me clear, Solomon, he doesn't stay there. He believes that life is still good, amen? Because it's a gift from a good God. It's a gift from a living God at that. And so in chapter 9, Solomon, he reminds us, life is going to move fast. I love Ferris Bueller, one of my favorite movies, and there's this one line that he says, he's like, if you don't stop and take a look around it, sometimes life is just going to pass you by. Y'all didn't think I was going to be preaching on Ferris Bueller this morning. Life moves fast. It's unpredictable. It doesn't always add up, but it's still worth living well. And so here's our main idea this morning. A wise perspective on life and death will allow us to find joy each moment of God that God gives. Yeah, that don't sound right. Of God gives, that God gives. That's what I meant to say. And so my goal this morning is very simple, okay? It's three things that in your head that you will know you can have joy even when life feels unfair. That in your mind something would click to say, no. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God says. That I can have joy even when circumstances don't add up. Here's the other thing that in your heart, it's good to know it in your head, but eventually knowledge has to turn into conviction. That's called wisdom. And so that in your heart, you would feel grateful for the life that God has given you. I don't know what has happened in your life. You've gone through some things. I've gone through some things. But at the end of the day, God is still good, and what he gives is good. And so we have to have an internal resolve to say, God, you are still a good giver, no matter what. Even though bad things may happen in my life, I can still receive them with goodness because it's a moment for me to grow in my faith. It's a moment for me to grow in wisdom. Amen? And that in your life, most importantly, that you will choose to live each day with purpose and joy. Because at the end of the day, it's your decision to pick up joy or not. It's your decision to say, I'm going to stay stuck or I'm going to keep living. So this morning, I want to show you one simple thing. How to live wisely when life feels unfair. Can we do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Abba, God, we slowly approach you, Father, because we come with deep reverence and fear, not simply because we're scared, but because you are grand and our minds cannot fathom you in your greatness, God. And so, Lord, I thank you that when we ask for you to speak to us, you are faithful to speak through your word. And Lord, this morning, we open your word and we ask that you would minister to our hearts. God, for the person who has had a heavy week, who feels distracted, who is not able to be present, Father, I pray that there would be a peace that surpasses all understanding in this room, Father, so that they can receive the good word that you have for them, God. Lord, we pray against the evil one who tries to snatch the seeds. And so, Lord, may the seeds of faith fall on good soil this morning. May we have ears to hear through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen. 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 So here's point number one this morning. Death is the reality none can avoid. Death comes for us all. Death, in other words, is the great equalizer. It levels the playing field, and nobody can escape it. In Ecclesiastes 9, 1 through 6, the teacher, he reminds us that both the righteous and the wicked, they share the same fate at the end of the day. And some of you may be thinking, well, why go to church? Why pray? Why read my Bible if it's going to end me in a casket anyways? And the point is not to avoid death. The point is to avoid hell, really. And it's hard to hear at times. But Solomon, he isn't trying to depress us. He's trying to grab us and wake us up, saying, stop playing games. Look up. People are passing. Times change. But you know what remains the same? God's goodness in it all. See, when I think of death, I think of O'Hare. Here's the reason why. When I think of death, I think of it here because everybody comes from different backgrounds. Everybody comes from, they're wearing different clothes, have different bags, different. But guess what? We all end up at the same gate. We're all trying to board the same plane. Well, not everybody, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like the people that are, right. We're all boarding the same gate. Guess what gate all of us are boarding? Death. That is the gate that all of us at some point in our life will enter through, will pass through. And some of you may be thinking for the first time, I am never coming back to this church. If you come to for the first time today, you're probably like, this guy really likes talking about death a lot. But Solomon, he doesn't avoid it, and therefore we shouldn't either. So death is the gate that we all enter through. You can't miss this flight. And you can't delay it either. Nor can you call a customer service and say, I don't like the destination. See, Solomon's point is very simple. He says, even though life is uncertain, death is guaranteed. So before we talk about anything else this morning, we need to get this registered in our mind. And some of us know it, but others, we kind of live life flippantly as if death is just something we can bypass. But death is the great equalizer. It reminds us that time is short. Verse 3, it says, it seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, and people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. See, Solomon, he talks about this because he's not trying to push us to be fearful. What he's trying to push us to is to focus. So in other words, here's what he's saying. He's saying we live in a broken world where good people are going to suffer and bad people are going to continue to prosper, but that's no reason to give up. That's no reason for you to point a finger. It's a reason to wake up. It's a reason for you to get up in the morning and say, yeah, I know death is coming, but let me live wisely. Psalm 90:12, King David, he said this so well. He said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If I told you had 1 week to live, I guarantee you'd get your ducks in a row. You talk to some people that you need to talk to. For me, the Lord was convicting me on this week because names started coming to mind, and Scripture says that if you're praying at the altar and a name comes to mind, stop what you're doing, go talk to that person because God would prefer you would reconcile before you start giving sacrifices. God is not interested in the lifting of hands. He likes it, but if you're talking about, God, I surrender, all the while every other area of your life is unsurrendered, kind of like what Anthony talked about, that wallet sticking out of the water. I love that illustration. But some of us kind of live life like that. I'm no different. Can I be honest? There are parts of me, too, where I struggle at times. Like, Lord, really? I got to forgive that person? I'm no perfect preacher, man. If you're looking for a perfect preacher, this might not be the church, but teach us to number our days. Live wisely. Do not forsake the time that God has given you because it's a gift. And whatever gift that God has given us, guess what? He expects you to steward it well. Money, talents, time. I was trying to think through the three T's there. God has given you something. How are you stewarding what God has given you? How are you stewarding your time? Death reminds us that time is limited. See, I love working out. One of my favorite things to do. Before I got married, I was able to work out 2 hours in the gym. No problem. I loved it. When I got married, I tried doing it, and my wife was like, where are you at? After 1 hour, she had me on the clutch. You coming home. 10 more minutes. And I always tried stretching it out. And when we had kids, they went from 2 hours to 1 hour, and now it's 30 minutes. And so what I would have used to do in 2 hours, I got to get crafty with my time, and I got to condense this down into 30 minutes. That's what living wisely looks like. It's saying in every season of my life, I can't keep living where God has taken me with old mentalities. I forgot what I said already, but. I was playing. Maybe not, I don't know. Here's the truth. Live wisely. Live wisely. What would you do differently if you knew how little time you had left? Would you be quicker to forgive? Would you spend more time in prayer? Would you love deeper? Don't wait, hear me. Don't wait for a diagnosis to start living right. If there's any diagnosis that you need to hear, is that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. And that one day we will all pass. Therefore, where does your soul lie? Where is your faith placed? So here's point number two. If death is unavoidable, then how should we live until that day comes? That leads us here to point number two. Life is a gift, so enjoy it. Come on, look to your neighbor, let them know. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. There you go. Enjoy it. See, the certainty of death, it does not negate that life is a gift, and if anything, it actually emphasizes it. Death emphasizes that time is precious, that life is a gift. In verse 7, I love that the teacher, he permits us, and he's charging us, and he says, so go ahead, eat your food with joy, and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. What he's saying is he's not permitting you to indulge. He's permitting you he's welcoming you to contentment. He's not saying live all willy-nilly. He's saying have boundaries still, but enjoy what God has given you. The job that God has given you, the family that God has given you, the friends that God has given you. Enjoy what God has given you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All of it is a gift from God. And so how do you view these things? That's the question. See, Solomon, he's saying, you can't control how long you live, but you can control how well you live. You can't control the timing, but you can control your actions today. It's kind of like, almost like a sunset. You guys ever go on vacation, maybe see a sunset before, wake up extra early, sunset. Yeah, nighttime, sunrise, morning. It's been a long 3 days. Sorry. But yeah, there you go. So there was some truth behind it. Okay, good. Anyway, it's like a sunset, right? You can't make the sun last longer, the beauty of that sunset, but you can choose to stop and to sit and to stare. Sun's going to set and going to rise on its own, no matter what. Death is going to come and death is going to go on its own, no matter what. But you can choose to stop and enjoy what God has given you in this moment. I know some of them kids can get on your nerves sometimes, but they are a gift of God. I know your coworkers at work. I know your coworkers might get on your nerve. But may I suggest they might be a gift from God too? Here's the reason why, because they're teaching you some patience, teaching you how to love. Come on. Yeah, some of you are going like this right now. Everything God gives is a gift. He's inviting us to be content. And so verse 9, he says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. He's not saying forget God. He's saying don't forget to enjoy what God has already given you. Side note, this is one of the reasons why I heavily despise social media, is because it causes us to take our eyes off of what God has given us and we get so distracted on what we don't have that we forsake the present moment. See, there's a reason why it's called doom scrolling, is because you're sitting there wasting hours at a time, allowing time to pass. You're killing your time, in essence. And so how are you spending your time? I love what C.S. Lewis once wrote. He says, there are, aren't there, only three things we can do about death: to desire it, to fear it, or to ignore it. The third alternative, which is the one modern world calls healthy, is surely the most uneasy and precarious of all. In case you missed it, what he's saying is that we try to ignore that death might come. And you can't ignore it, friend. You can try to distract it. That's what we've been learning in chapter 7, right? That the teacher was saying about the whole party and the funeral, and he was saying people are trying to distract themselves with all the pleasures that this world has to offer while completely forsaking the fact that time is short. See, ignoring the reality of death is the most unhealthiest view that you and I can have. So to live like we have nothing to be mindful of all of the time in the world is a recipe for disappointment, especially when we begin experiencing loss in life. And so here's what the psalmist is saying. He's not, don't hear me wrong, he's not advocating for suicide here. He's not saying anything about harming yourself. What he is advocating for, though, is having the joyful expectation of finally being with God. This is why we're able, I explained this a couple nights ago during the memorial service for Wilbert, is that I get it that some people grieve differently, but some are able to still have a smile on their face because we understand that even though that this life may pass, our soul still goes on, and our hope is in Jesus Christ, knowing that we are with him forever in eternity and in paradise. This is good news, friend. Here's the reason why, because you will, all the pain and all the suffering and all the tears that you experience in this lifetime, guess what? Some of y'all got pains in your joints, waking up, snap, crackle, pop. The Abraham said like this back there. My ankle for me has been killing me all week. Like, I'm only 34. Why am I experiencing all this right now? But guess what? One day you will receive a new body where you will feel no pain anymore. I've had asthma since I was a kid. I hate it. But I know that one day I will not experience this asthma anymore. But the truth is that that day hasn't come yet. Therefore, I'm going to soak up all this life has to offer. This means that if I want to get up and take my kids to go get Slurpees, we're going to go get Slurpees. If I want to play hide and seek with them before they're going to go to bed, we're going to play hide and seek. What are you going to do? How are you going to soak up the life that God has given you? Get fun. Get creative. It's okay. God gives you permission, friend, brother, sister. Live life. Look to your neighbor. Let them know. Live life. It's okay. Live life again. Enjoy it. Be joyful. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Life, love, food, work, laughter, these are gifts that are meant to be received with gratitude and not with guilt. Look at me, please, please look at me for a second. Some people have a hard time receiving gifts without feeling guilty about it, where you feel like you have to go above and beyond to repay something back. You can't repay back salvation. You can only receive it. Stop feeling guilty about the salvation that God has given you. Some of us, I hear it a lot of times, and I just wish I could, like, just whatever that is, take that off of somebody and be like, remove that guilt and walk in the goodness of God. You don't have to feel bad for it. You've gone through enough stuff, and you're going to go through some stuff. So enjoy what God has given you. Am I clear on that? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So pause and take joy in the simple blessings that God has given you. Here's what this could look like for you. Have dinner with your family. Choose to spend time around the dinner table and not in front of the TV. I'm preaching to myself here. Choose to sit at the dinner table. Laugh a little longer till your belly hurts. Serve with passion, with a smile on your face. Which leads me to the next one. Some of y'all, smile more. Smile more. I know you love Jesus, but smile more. Stop waiting for the perfect conditions to start living with gratitude. But here's one more truth that Solomon shows us. Because while we live with joy, we also need to live with urgency. Time is short. So here's point number three. We can prepare for the end by receiving God's grace in the new. Life is unpredictable. So let me charge you with this. Make sure your soul is ready. At any given time, the ref calls the clock. Is your soul ready? See, verse 11 says, the fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. Time and chance, they happen to them all. In other words, you can't plan for everything, but you can prepare for eternity. And we've learned this 4 weeks ago when we were in chapter 3, verse 11. This is when Mario had preached. And this was the verse that came to mind. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. See, God is the one who makes our time beautiful. And this includes our final time too. He has placed within us a desire to understand and experience more than the moments that we are finding within ourselves. We find ourselves in those moments. And that desire and longing, guess what? It can only be fulfilled. Eternity can only be fulfilled by an eternal God, not temporary things. See, death is somewhat like, I said it was like an airport a little while ago. It's also like a sudden storm. No one schedules the storm, unless you got Tom Skilling on the radar. He was good. That's the reason why I bring him up. But wise people, guess what? They keep an umbrella ready. You can't predict when the storm hits, but do you got an umbrella? Protect you from the rain? See, Solomon isn't discouraging effort. He's exposing false confidence. You can work hard, you can plan well, and guess what? Still lose it all in a moment. But what matters is whether you know the one who holds your future. Do you know God? Does your Father know you? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Yes, he knows you. But just the way Adam had sinned and departed from the presence of God, and God is walking around and he's saying, Adam, where are you? It's not that he was clueless, is that he was trying to get Adam's attention, that Adam was the one who walked away and departed from God. And I love this verse in verse 11 where he's saying that in us, God has already implanted eternity. All of us have a longing to meet this need, and it can only be met by an eternal God. See, Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. This is beautiful news for us, friend, is that even though you experience pain and suffering and even death, that we can still have joy because we know that we're meant to die. We're meant to pass from this life. But forever we can spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. And guess what? Those who have received Jesus into their life, they'll be there too. A place where there's no pain, no suffering, no tears. You don't got to pay a single bill. A good news for some of y'all. So you can't stop death, but you can receive life. That is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So don't waste another day living without the one who gives every day meaning. As I invite the worship team up. In the end, guess what? No matter how good, no matter how bad we live, every life ends the same way. It ends with a name on a stone. How's that for a good life? You get a rock with some engraving on it. But those who trust in Jesus, that's not the end. Death is the beginning. You can try all your life to be a good person, to stay positive, and to make peace with the world. But the world only gives you a rock with your name engraved on the stone. Here's why I bring that up is because God is no different. Did you know that you actually receive a rock with a name on it? Revelations 2:17. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. Hear me. And I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except for the one who receives it. In essence, what he's saying, I wish I had a prop here. We'll use the pumpkin. This is my stone. And in it, there's an inscribing, and here's what God is saying. He's saying, this is yours. Take it. Literally, take it. And the only I was like, the only one that knows what name is on that stone, guess who? Ty. It's none of y'all businesses. It's only Ty's. But that goes for every single one of you that God has given you. I'll take the pumpkin back, bro. I know. God has given you a new name, friend. A new name. And it's written on a stone. This world could keep this tombstone. I will take that white stone. So live your life with purpose and intention. Live with meaning. Enjoy life. Just like Jesus gave Peter a new name upon his confession of faith that Jesus is the Messiah, so God gives you a new name that represents your new life, your forgiven past, and your eternal identity in Christ. That's the invitation of the gospel this morning, is to turn from a meaningless life and to receive the eternal joy that only Jesus can give you. So for those that have not received Jesus Christ, this is your invitation this morning. You are not here by chance or happenstance, but every moment is orchestrated and ordained by God, even the bad things. See, physical death, as we've learned, is inevitable to physical life. But spiritual death came to be because of sin. Some of you, the biggest question that we ask, right, is if God is so good, then why does this life suck? Why does bad things happen? And I can narrow it down to one word. Anybody want to guess? Sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So for some of you, God feels so distant because your sin feels so great. But may I remind you that your God is greater than your sin, that he has overcome it. Last week we learned about authority. Here's why this is important, is because if Jesus has risen from the grave, that means he holds the keys to death. Last time I checked, whoever holds the keys holds the authority. They have the last shot or last call. Our sin has separated us from a perfect God. And for those of you who are thinking, I live a pretty good life, I do good things, I don't mess up that bad, you've already sinned, because that's called pride. No matter what, we need a perfect Savior. No matter what. And here's what you get if you do not allow Jesus to pay your bill. Here's what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to stay stuck in your sin, friend. Receive Jesus' forgiveness this morning. Receive his offering by placing your faith in him. Then you can acknowledge and experience what true joy means. My question is simple. Will you receive him this morning? With every head bow and every eye closed. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For some of you, you've forgot what joy feels like. You forgot what it feels like to live life. The devil has been robbing some of y'all. But here's the good news, is that God is here this morning, friend. And he wants to restore the joy of his salvation in your life. Death is not the end. It's the doorway. Will you place your trust in him and surrender to Jesus today? I don't know what will happen to you the moment you walk out of these doors, but you can control your decision now. Death is not meant to push us to fear. It's meant to push us to focus. And so if there is anybody in this room, under the sound of my voice, maybe you've acknowledged Jesus, but you haven't received him as Savior. You haven't received him as Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If there is anybody in this room and you're saying, Ray, I hear what you're saying. God is speaking to me in this moment, and today is the day that I'm going to make the decision to receive Jesus into my life. If that is you, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet and do not hesitate, that you would just stand immediately to your feet. If that is anybody in this room, Jesus calling. Amen. Everyone's going to heaven. At least that's what I'm gathering now. The Lord knows your heart, right? If you're feeling like, not right now. Man, may the Lord speak to you and shake you. Don't wait for a diagnosis. Now, for the rest of you in the room, you forgot what joy has felt like. You have been experiencing all of this suffering, and it feels tormenting. And you're saying, I just want to experience life again. I want to live life. I want to be able to enjoy what God has given me. If that is you this morning, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet, that I can pray with you, and that the Lord would restore to you the joy of your salvation. Amen. 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 Look at that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus says that we are to have childlike faith. There is no greater way of demonstrating childlike faith than a person who lifts their hands. And so I am going to ask that everybody who is standing, would you just lift your hands this morning? And let me pray this blessing upon you. Oh, man. Father. Father, I thank you, God, that you are a good God. Lord, I thank you that you give good gifts and that your presence is our portion, Lord God, that we get to enjoy your presence. And so, Father, I pray as King David had prayed, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? God, the gift that you have given me has permitted me to live life again. And so, Father, I pray in the Spirit, would you begin to fill, Lord God, your children? Would you restore to them that joy, Lord God? All of the pain that they have been feeling, all of the suffering, Lord God, would you fill them again, Lord God? Would you restore them, Lord Jesus? Heal the brokenness of their hearts. Help them to be a blessing to other people as well, Father. Father, I thank you, God, that you are imparting, Lord God, your joy in this moment. To those who have been distant from you, Father, I pray that your presence would be tangible in this place, Lord God. Fill us. Fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Wash us and make us new, Father. Help us to live a life that is honoring to you, Lord Jesus. Restore joy in this house this morning, Father. Restore joy in this house. Would you say it? Say, God, I receive your joy. Come on, come on. God, I receive your joy. God, I fix my eyes on you and not on my problems. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Anthony up this morning.
Do I got a yes? Awesome. As Ray was speaking, I couldn't help but think of John chapter 10, verse 10, and where it says that the thief comes only to steal and destroy. He's talking about the devil. But Jesus says about himself, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I think today that's what's being demonstrated by the two that are getting baptized. They've decided to give their lives to Christ, and that Christ promises them life to the full. And if it might not be on this side of heaven, in heaven, they will have a life full with eternity with him. Amen? Amen. I'm so excited to see the kids up here. I seen a lot of them yesterday at the trunk or treat. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for coming up. We're excited for you guys to see. Today is Baptism Sunday. We wanted you guys to witness that. Yeah. Yeah. And so we have two people that are getting baptized today, and I'll tell you their stories in a few minutes. As they get ready and prepared to come up here, I'll call them up here in a few minutes. But what I want to tell you guys is why we do baptisms, okay? Baptism is a public declaration of an inward commitment. They decided inside of themselves that they believe and they accepted Christ into their lives. Baptism is the next step. So what baptism basically is, it's a step of obedience. It's the first action that you get to take once you believe. Because the Bible tells us, when people wanted to be saved back in Jesus' day, they said, Jesus, what do we need to be saved? He says, believe and then be baptized. Okay, so when you guys drove here this morning, there's a stop sign out here, right? And you've seen that stop sign, right? Did the stop sign stop your car? No. You had to apply the brakes to stop it, right? It's just a sign. It's there to remind you that you need to stop, right? Well, that's the same thing with baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. If you decide and you believe that Jesus is your Savior, you are saved. But it's the baptism that demonstrates to everybody else that I'm taking that first step of obedience. So I want to encourage you guys that anybody that's given their life to Christ but has not yet taken that step of believer's baptism, then I say you have not taken the first step of obedience. That you're saying, well, yeah, I'll put that off. So don't do that. See me. See Pastor Ray. We'll connect you with a mentor, and we'll help you guys to get connected so that you don't have to do that alone. Amen? Amen. I'll invite those that are getting baptized to come on up, and then we'll share their stories with you. Jonas is right here, and Mia. Mia, would you come on up? Yeah, absolutely. So, I'll have you, Ray, we want to stand over here by you. Yeah. And then Soraya's getting changed, so she mentored her. So I want to share with you guys a little bit about the two that are getting baptized today. Mia actually gave her life to Christ last year. She shared with me that she was coming. She goes to school in Rhode Island, right? Is it Rhode Island? She goes to school in Rhode Island. But she came home from school last winter on winter break, and that happened to be the time that we were doing our fasting, our 21-day fast, and her grandma would invite her with her aunt to come to church, and so she was coming, and something stirred in her, so she started to read her Bible through the whole time that we were doing the fasting, and then she went back to school, and she came back, and she decided at that point she was going to give her life to Christ, and so we were so excited for that. And then she talked to Soraya, and Soraya mentored her. But here's the unique thing about God could use any situation anytime. So Mia goes to school in Rhode Island. Soraya mentored her, but she did it over FaceTime. They didn't allow anything to stop them. They still mentored and went through the blue book so that she could be baptized. When I heard that, I was just so excited, man, because it's just like, there's no obstacle that God won't oversee. I don't care if she's in Rhode Island. She got mentored, and she's going to get baptized today. So that's exciting. So why are you choosing to get baptized then?
I wrote something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Mia. If you don't know me, I'm Erica's niece. I spend most of my year at college, like he said, in Rhode Island, so I'm usually watching this service on YouTube. But almost a year ago, Jesus saved me. I spent a lot of my young life filled with so much anxiety and constantly feeling like there was this void in my heart that nothing could satisfy. And when I got to college, I especially started chasing everything to fill the void, but nothing did. And around this time last year, I was filled with anger and anxiety, unforgiveness and impatience, especially taking my anger out on my parents and distancing myself from them. I was just in this constant loop of just feeling terrible about myself and my life and substituting it with temporary fixes. And that cycle just went on and on. And I didn't know it at the time, but I needed a savior. Last November, when I came home for Thanksgiving break, I asked my Aunt Erica what kind of Bible she had. And then she bought me one. Since the moment I started reading the word, I could literally feel everything just slowly getting better. Jesus met me where I was at, and everything didn't change overnight. But when he came into my life, the void in my heart was finally filled. And I've grown so much this past year, and life still gets hard at times. But the difference is that now I don't struggle alone. And even on the hard days, I wake up with so much gratitude, knowing that my cup is overflowing with blessings. And I could go on for hours about how Jesus has changed my life, but he's still working. And since I've accepted Jesus into my life, I feel like a new person. My parents are some of my best friends. I'm kinder, more patient, slower to anger. And I can only thank Jesus for who I am today.
Wow. What an encouraging testimony, right? If you want some of that, if you're struggling, if that's what you, give your life to Jesus. That's all I could say. Jesus says he gives life to the full. Amen? Amen. Amen. Soraya, what was it like mentoring over FaceTime? How was that? Yeah.
That was, I've done it before with other mentees here just because of schedules and things like that, but I actually had met Mia like here and there, and so we were new to the church at the time. Or in November, Ray was just doing that monthly preaching, so I didn't really get to know Mia at that level. So Erica was just like, hey, can you text my niece and just call her and see if you'd be willing to mentor her? So our very first like FaceTime was literally me meeting her for the first time. And so I don't say that that's for me, but it was just like I was so glad that she was willing to just be open and transparent from the get-go. And so I think just like that was just evidence and fruit of her relationship with the Lord. And so just seeing how hungry she was, that it was like, I don't care who disciples me at this point. Like, I just need to get baptized. And so yesterday was the first time we actually hugged since she's been back at school and met in person. So it's been just awesome. Like how Anthony says, like, Pastor Ray and I love these opportunities, but anybody can do this. If you've been baptized and you are walking with the Lord and you just want to talk to Anthony, like, Anthony, I want to be a part of that, pouring into this next generation that is hungry, hungry, hungry for Jesus. Like, look at, we have three rows of young adults. Like, they are hungry, but it's us who need to rise up and say, I will pass on the baton. We can't just hold this in for ourselves, but they want to make, they see a difference that Jesus is making, and they want someone to say, this is how you do it. This is how you walk life with Jesus. And so I just encourage you all to talk to Anthony afterwards, or as you're praying about this throughout the week, if this is something you're interested in being a part of mentoring for baptism.
Yeah, she stole my question. I was going to ask, what would you say to somebody that's thinking about mentoring somebody but hasn't yet taken that step? Yeah, thank you for addressing that. We will walk you through it. If you've been, the Bible tells us, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't say Pastor Ray do it. He didn't say Saraya do it. He said us that have already been baptized, we should be making other disciples. So if that's something that it's on your heart, see me. I'd love to help you get connected with somebody that needs a mentor. All right? All right? There's speaking of mentors, there's two people that there's been a lot of tears this week. And there's two people that can't be with us today. Terry Lampton, Terry, raise your hand. Terry Lampton was mentoring Wilbur. Wilbur would have been baptized today had he been with us today. Praise God. Praise God, because he gave his life to Christ. That's why I tell you about the stop sign, is because I have no doubt that Wilbur's in heaven. He gave his life to Christ. That stop sign is just a symbol. So his baptism today would have been a symbol to all of us to declare that he's giving his life to Christ. But he already did. There's another person that can't be here today that we lost suddenly over a year ago, and that would be Jonas's mom, Liz. If she was here today, she was one of my wife's best friends. Abby actually baptized her. If she were here today, she would be so proud of Jonas. Yes. I remember how proud she would share us pictures of him in his ROTC uniform. So she had a lot of pride in her heart for her son. And so she's missed. Like I said, there's a lot of tears this week. But these are tears of joy. We miss Liz. But we're tears of joy because today he gets to choose to get baptized. Amen? Amen. I love you, brother. You want to share with us why you're choosing to get baptized today, Jonas?
sorry. All this week, everyone's been telling me, I've heard a lot of people saying they're going to cry today. Or I've even just known that they were. And I always say, why were you going to cry? And I would think to myself, I'm not going to cry. And this doesn't have to do with the testimony. Just like I'm feeling it right now. I didn't think I would be, but I've been coming here since I was 7 years old, maybe younger. So I've been here for over a decade now, I think. I'm not old, but that made me feel old. I've seen hundreds of people getting baptized. I've seen my own family, my cousins, my titi, my uncle, I've seen members here. A lot of the faces I'm looking at right now, I've seen you step into the water. And I don't know, I would see that and I would tell myself, one day I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. But I would always use that word, one day, or those words, one day. I would never say next month or this year. I even like 3-4 years ago, I told my mom, I was like, I want to get baptized, but she said, okay, reach out to someone. I just never did it. And I don't know, I guess I just always thought, well, I've prayed the prayer. I've been saved. Why do I need to get baptized? Isn't it? It's just a declaration. I don't need it. It's when I feel right, when the time comes, that's when I'm going to go and I'm going to step in. Then, was it about maybe a month or two ago, over here, a lot of these college students, sorry, I don't know your names. I hope I can get to know some of you after this. I'm over here sitting in the tech booth, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, Lord, is this what you want? Do you want this from me? Show me if this is what you want. And I'm reading the words up here, singing the song, and I'm not sad at all. I feel perfectly fine, and I just start, like, weeping. Like, I don't, my nose is fine, my throat is fine, everything, but just tears just rolling down my eyes. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, can you show me anything else, Lord? Is this truly what you want? And then one of the people here is saying a story similar to mine where their mother died when they were young too, and that helped lead them to where they are today and help them come up to get baptized. And I'm thinking, okay, I see this is what you want from me now. And then pastor, he's telling everyone, hey, is there anyone in the crowd here who wants to get baptized? And I just, like, I have such a strong, like, feeling like I need to do this, like I should go up there and just grab a shirt and just get in. But then I'm thinking, like, my family's not here today. I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, just give me a month. And that's what brought me to be here today. And even I've been going through the Blue Book with pastor here, and even while we're going through the Blue Book, I'm still thinking, why do I need this? Why is baptism, why am I being called to do this so hard? And when we're going through it, I see there's three steps. We're called to do three things. First is to believe and to repent. Second is to be baptized. And third is to go out and make new followers. And my whole life, I've done the first part and tried to skip to the third when I was missing a step. And if, I mean, that's why things have been hard. I'm always, like, afraid to go out and spread the word and talk about these things in public, but I feel like I just need to be able to take the right steps in the right order to be able to, like, fully go out and do what he calls me to do and what he wants me to do.
All right. Awesome. That's great. I've known Jonas since he's been 7 years old, and he grew up here with the boys in the kid zone down there. And I think that's the most words I've ever heard him speak. God bless you, brother. The Bible tells us that when one is saved, all of heaven rejoices. So I know Liz is rejoicing today too. Yeah, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Ray, well, I've known Jonas a long time. You've known him just that little bit, but man, what was it like mentoring him? I'm jealous. How was that?
I mean, I want to say it's an honor that you would ask me and entrust me to help walk you through the Blue Book. I don't want to say much. I think Jonas said everything beautifully. That was awesome, man. That was good. And I love the fact that you said I tried stepping out of order. It wasn't until I came under order that everything started to follow. And here's, that could be summed up in one word, surrender. Surrender. And so seeing Jonas come to this place in his faith, I mean, you guys know, like, they have known Jonas longer, but this is serious. This ain't just for show. It took a God-orchestrated moment. And so everything that had taken place when we were having that big spontaneous baptisms and stuff like that, look what God was doing behind the scenes, and we didn't know it. And so let us not forsake what God is doing. He is always working behind the scenes. And so I'm proud of you, man. I really am proud of you, dude.
Amen. I'll invite them to go into the back, and I'll be there in a second. But if you saw us with these pins today, too, we're remembering Wilbur, that he would have been baptized today, too. Amen? Amen. One more thing I'll say is that this is a very intimate moment. And I wish I would invite you guys all to come up there, but you'll be able to see from there, the water's back there. Give them a big round of applause when they come out the water. Yeah, because the Bible tells us they're going down with their old self and coming up new. They have new life. So cheer them on. Amen.
All right, let's stand. We're going to worship as they get baptized.